This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Rudama. In Connecticut, tow companies are allowed to sell some cars in just 15 days.
This is not for, you know, you were parked in a no-tow in a handicapped spot or at a supermarket, or this is private apartment complexes where the apartment managers make the rules.
That's Dave Altamari, an in-depth investigative reporter with the Connecticut Mirror. He and several colleagues have done a deep dive into a little-known Connecticut law that allows towing companies to sell some people's cars within 15 days. More to come after this.
Whether you order a grinder or a hero for lunch, spend summers on the Sound or on Jones Beach, and I'm not even going near the pizza debate, there's something for nutmeggers and Long Islanders alike on the WSHU podcast, After All Things. Get the news and culture from around the Long Island Sound in less than 15 minutes. Hosted by me, Sabrina Garone. Weeknights wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, Dave. Connecticut has one of the shortest windows in the country for tow companies to sell cars. Is that what prompted you and your colleagues to partner with ProPublica to investigate this? What did you find?
Yes, actually, it was over 2 years ago when a source called me and said, you're not going to believe this, but in Connecticut, they can tow your car and 15 days later, they can ask the Department of Motor Vehicles for permission to sell it. So when we looked up the law, which is over 100 years old. It was originally supposed to be to help deal with abandoned motor vehicles on the highway or on municipal roads, but it has turned into a vehicle that these towers, they call them trespass towers, or private property towers, are using to, in effect, get permission after 15 days. The DMV gives them permission to it's like a temporary registration, and then they can sell the car.
Now, we're talking about a situation like being in an apartment building parking lot and parking in the wrong place.
Yes, this is not for, you know, you were parked in a no-tow in a handicapped spot or at a supermarket, or this is private apartment complexes where the apartment managers make the rules. And what's happening is, you know, there are a lot of places, if you don't back your car in, for example, to your parking space, they'll tow your car. If your parking pass isn't visible in a certain spot in the car, if it happens to fall on the ground or whatever, they'll tow your car. And a lot of them, what they do is they have these portable scanners and they can scan the license plate and they can tell who the car is registered to or supposed to be registered to. And if that's not a person who's supposed to be there, then the car's not technically not properly registered, and they tow the car.
You have a specific case that you mentioned.
Yes, we did.
Melissa Randerson.
We focused on a couple. In particular, Melissa was an interesting case because she had purchased her car. Her ex-husband had done some work on it for her so she could register her car. This was back in 2021, so while we were still in the throes of COVID, and she couldn't get an appointment. You can only do it by online at the time, and she couldn't get an appointment to get the car registered for like 6 weeks. And if you buy a car by a private purchase, the law is, you know, if you buy a car from a dealer, the dealer takes care of it for you. If you buy a car from somebody from New York, you have 90 days to register your car, so you have a little more time. But if you buy a car privately, there's really no time frame. So you need to get an appointment, and certainly back then, even now, I believe it's several weeks now, at least more than 15 days if you were to try to do it today. So she had an appointment 2 days away and her car was towed on a Saturday morning and she never got it back. She had spent a lot of money. Her husband worked at a restaurant. He was a chef. They had a child, an autistic child. So they just couldn't afford and the fees. And she eventually, exactly 15 days after they towed her car, they filed the paperwork with the Department of Motor Vehicles. It's called an H-100 form to to get permission to sell her car. And they ended up junking her car, which actually made it worse because they junked the car and got like half of what she paid for it.
Wow.
And she had just had the car. Her husband, ex-husband, had done quite a bit of work on the car, so the car was not junk. So it was kind of like a double thing where not only did she lose her car, but they got rid of it. And when they very easily, that car certainly had could have ran for many more years.
Now, the company that towed her car, myhoopty.com.
Myhoopty.com.
Okay.
Yep, myhoopty.
Now, they've had quite a few complaints with the DMV.
They're one of the biggest, what they call, trespass towing companies, yes.
Okay. And you actually did a FOIA request to get some information from the DMV. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
What my source told me was that they had to file these forms. They're called H-100 forms. You know how DMV has a million forms. Under the law, to sell the car after 15 days, you have to prove that it's worth less than $1,500. If it's worth more than that, then you have to wait 45 days before you can sell the car. And you have to sell it at a public auction. So what I was told is that they make sure that most of the cars, unless it's an obvious case, are $1,500, listed as worth $1,500 or less. So we FOI'd the DMV back in June of 2022 for a couple of years of those records to see how many there were, how often it was happening. And there are literally thousands of cars a year they get permission to sell. So it's not just, you know, a handful here and there. It's thousands all over the state. They originally told us it was 11,000 over 3 years. Then they lowered the number. Honestly, I don't know what the, but it's 3,000 to 4,000 cars a year that are, they get permission to sell.
And the DMV was going to charge you
$47,000
for the information.
They told us it was going to cost $47,000 to execute the FOI. They had to find the documents. They had to redact the documents. There are certain things like license and VIN number, things that are publicly, you know, federally protected. So we didn't have any. We knew there was going to be stuff redacted, so that was not the problem. But so I asked for an accounting of why it was going to cost $47,000, and we had to hire a lawyer, which, you know, delayed the process 6 or 8 months because, you know, we had to have a lawyer get in touch with their lawyer, you know, get an itemized bill of why it was going to cost us $47,000. We thought about writing about it. You do see those stories occasionally to embarrass them, but I've never been a big fan of those kind of stories. And, you know, we needed the documents, so we needed to figure out a way to work with them. So that was June of 2022 when I first put the FOI in. As of today, I think we roughly have about 4,000 documents. So we're missing, depending on what you believe from the DMV, anywhere from 3,000 to 6,000 more documents from the last few years that we still haven't been.
Well, what are lawmakers doing about this? I understand they've tried to tweak the law in the past couple of years, but it hasn't gone very far. What's the general representative, Roland Lamar, is the co-chair of the General Law Committee. He's a little bit involved in trying to adjust the law. What is he saying? What are they trying to do?
Yes. So he is going to submit a bill. We expect multiple bills. I'm actually, to be honest with you, waiting for the Speaker of the House to call me. The first issue is the 15-day window. It is the third or fourth shortest in the entire country. I think they want to look at that. But there's also, from what Representative Lamar wants to look at, is this is also a consumer protection issue. Many of these places will only take cash. Right. So if you don't have $700 in cash or $600 in cash, they won't give you your car back. Some of these places aren't open on weekends. So what they do is they tow your car on Friday afternoon and then they have it over the weekend. So they're now charging you 3 days storage instead of 1 day storage. So your bill, instead of being, you know, $180, is now $600. And for some people, that's That's a lot of, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, that's a lot of money. So I think that's part of what he wants to look at, some of the consumer protection issues here, and are consumers getting taken advantage of, or do they need to look at those laws? But I also think they're going to look on how DMV deals with these forms. I think they basically rubber stamp the forms through. They do write the blue book value of the car on each form, and the blue book value compared to what the towers claim it's worth is always significantly different. Now, some of those cases, legitimately, a car may have been in an accident and it's not worth what it was, but there's no way to really know looking at what we've seen so far. So I expect at least two different bills to look at this issue.
In the meantime, a lot of these people who could least afford to lose their cars no longer have those cars and are still owing the tow companies money.
Yes. The other part of this that we're going to do as a follow-up, under the law, so if you sell my car, you're supposed to keep that money in escrow for 1 year, because I have the right legally to request that money since it was my car. No one ever does. No one knows about that. And after a year, if no one makes a claim, the tower is supposed to take their fees and the rest of the money is supposed to go to the state of Connecticut.
Has the state ever received any of that money?
Into the unclaimed property. It's called escheated. It's supposed to be escheated to the state, which means it would go into the unclaimed property fund.
Does the state have any record? There's no record of that.
The DMV. None. No, there's never been a tow company that has given any money to the state after selling someone's car. And the towers blame it on the DMV. The DMV blames it on the towers and on the treasury office, because the treasurer runs the unclaimed property fund, but it's never happened. And, you know, a lot of these cars don't sell for a significant amount of money, but some of them are nice cars. It's hard to quantify what that means to the state, but there's no doubt the state has, there's been money that should have gone to the state that has never gone to the state.
Well, thank you so much, Dave. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebong Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor, WSHU's Alicia Daddario, and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.